The views stated by the hosts of this podcast are opinion only and should not take the place of a qualified healthcare professional or mental health specialist. This podcast is for education and recreation. Welcome to Ask a Hag, a podcast about self-care and witchcraft in the modern world. I'm Leslie.
And I'm Allison.
And we are asked questions every day in the work that we do within our community. And this podcast is a space for us where we can share our knowledge and experience as witches and healers. This is a place where you, dear listener, can find inspiration and also feel empowered wherever you are on your journey. Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yes, indeed. Happy Imbolc.
Happy Imbolc.
Mm-hmm. This is our first official Ask a Hag Zoom recording. So apologies, dear listeners, if we sound a little strange. but we're trying out some new technology. It's pretty cool.
That's right. As we play it safe and we continue on this pandemic journey.
That's right.
Then you got to get creative.
Yes, you do. That's right. So, yeah. So what's on your mind these days, my love, my sweet friend?
Oh, you know, the biggest thing for me, you know, and honestly, it's been a tough year so far, which I hadn't anticipated, you know, and I don't know if it's that last year, you know, when all of this happened, I just personally went into like work mode, like,
put your head down, get it done.
Right. Like, where can I be helpful? What is needed? And then this year, I just feel like such a slowing down, you know, just paying very, very close attention to what is needed in terms of just nourishment and rest and, you know, attention to body and self is really kind of what I've been feeling as we've kicked off 2021 here in January. And here we are just about at the end of the month. And yeah, it hasn't really changed. I've been really honoring, you know, my mind, body, and spirit, I think. How about you?
Yeah, I'm going to say the same. The year has started to be challenging for me too. I lost my grandmother 2 weeks ago. So things have been weird and challenging, navigating that grief space. You know, I'm learning a lot from this process. And one of the things that I'm learning is to not take life for granted, capital L, life, you know? If I can speak about Pat's for just a moment, my grandmother was a force and probably one of the most independent, free thinking people that I've ever known. And she really embraced who I was as a kid, this weird, kooky, queer girl, you know, and always honored beauty and art above all things. And, you know, I think about like the pandemic, not to bring it up, but it's the elephant in the room. Mm-hmm. I think about the pandemic and how like we're all kind of being forced to really take a close look at our surroundings, at our bodies, right? That's our first home, at our physical spaces, our home. And what that looks like, you know, are we in a space that is beautiful to us and pleasing to us? How can we cultivate that space and make it better? And since my grandmother's passing, I've been thinking a lot about that, about how much beauty, you know, she brought to the world and how I can continue her legacy. And I, you know, I'm wondering, and maybe this, Leslie, I'd really like to know your thoughts on this, how the Hierophant comes into play with this idea, because that's the card of the year, right? That's the energy that we're walking into now that the calendar has changed to 2021. What do you think?
Yeah. So again, to our folks out there listening, the Hierophant is arrived. We arrive at the card of the year by adding up the year. So we add 2 + 0 + 2 + 1, 2 + 2 + 1 = 5. You get it. So the fifth card in the major arcana is the Hierophant. And I have been having so many conversations about this, and I'm thank you for, because Allison, a huge teaching of the Hierophant that I don't think it's discussed as often is how it relates to family issues and family. And I was saying today, if the Empress is the mother and the Emperor is the father, the Hierophant is the grandparent, is the elder, is the ancestor. And it feels like situations regarding that energy tend to come up for us this year and how we are working through that. Furthermore, with the Hierophant, we are asked to look at all the energies of the fives in the minor arcana. And so how are we resolving, if we are working to resolve, you know, family issues, et cetera, and I'm community issues, you know, your chosen family issues, then in the minor arcana, how you're dealing with grief, how you're resolving your relationship to grief. How you're resolving your relationship to defeat, to lack mentality, to worry, to physical strain. And so the Hierophant calls us to really take the time to honestly and truly resolve that stuff.
Because once we do, there's that big shining gold at the end, you know, you get to step into a truly well-lived life.
Yeah.
With nothing holding you down. And I'm not saying that like it's necessarily enlightenment and, you know, you're never going to have suffering, but I really think that that's like the big focus point is how do we walk through these hard places of worry and fear and grief and triggers, you know, family trauma, things like that. That sort of thing.
You know, and again, like resolutions don't make things go away. They create a sense of resolve and peace.
That's right. And a grounding point.
Yeah. I've just been thinking of you and in your process of honoring her life and, you know, thank you for, you shared pictures of this bright, beautiful soul. What a class act too, you know, like just such grace.
I'll tell you, the last Christmas we were able to spend with her was in 2019. And Donna, before we left on our journey to my parents' house, she was like, we should bring some Baileys. And I was like, okay. So we had this just like stashed away, you know, and my Nana was the queen of Scrabble. She was an avid reader, a voracious reader. She would stay up till like 2 o'clock in the morning reading mystery novels and all kinds of stuff all the time. And so, you know, during the course of this celebration, we got to talking about playing Scrabble, which we hadn't played yet that visit. And Donna goes upstairs and gets the Baileys and brings it down. And Nana just lit up. She was like, I'll have some of that. And, you know, I always think about the first time I ever had an alcoholic drink. It was an Amaretto Sour when I was 14 with Nana. She was so fun. And we laughed and giggled and drank Baileys and got drunk. We got drunk.
Drunk with Nana.
It was really fun.
Love it.
Scrabble. I think it's interesting that it's also happening, this like walking through grief and things like that at Imbolc.
Yeah.
Because we're kind of, being called to say goodbye to the darkness. But yet darkness is still here. You know, it's not like poof, magically, like, oh, it's the bright sun and it's summer again. It doesn't, you know, nature doesn't really work like that, obviously. So, you know, Imbolc traditionally has been seen as the first day of spring in these kinds of calendars, and seen as like kind of a fertility season and holiday, baked goods and all those sorts of things are served at this time of year, and the lighting of candles and making your house cozy and stuff. And that's all well and good, but Mother Death is still around us. And so I find it really interesting that we're being called to like really and truly sit in that duality of the light that's coming, and then also the dark that's still holding our hand.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right.
And so many of us have experienced, unfortunately, you know, death touching our family's lives this past year. And how do we work through that? I mean, I think every person is going to be different with it. And of course, you know, I'm grounding it in my ancestor practice, which is really important for me right now. You know, that's where I'm able to physically see her. and if I can speak to that for just a moment, I asked my family for her glasses, because she wore glasses full time like I do. And glasses, for those of us listening at home, are a very powerful object to help you connect to your ancestor, because they, you know, it sits on their face. You get to, you know, really experience something that was physically touching them all the time, you know, as long as they were awake or even asleep on the couch, you know. So I was able to get her glasses, and they're sitting on my altar next to her picture, and a very small shot of Bailey's is sitting there too. So to wet her whistle as she continues, you know.
Yeah, not only that, but glasses is just being like that second sight, you know.
Yep. You get to look through their vision.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Have you, I know this might be a weird question, but have you put them on?
No, not yet. I'm not ready.
I feel like something that you would eventually do?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. I'm not ready though. It's a little too fresh.
Sure.
You know.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Well, that's a beautiful thing too, that you have that peace.
Yeah, among other things.
Yeah.
I also got her ring that she got.
I wondered about that ring.
Yeah, it's new to me. She got it when she went to Ireland.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's very pretty. I'm not sure what stone it is. It looks like jade to me, but. Maybe aventurine.
There is green Irish glass is a thing. Hold on 1 second.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Might have to do a little bit more research for you, as I'm just seeing like Irish sea glass. But yeah, I do believe that's actually a stone.
Mm-hmm. I also got her mug that she drank tea out of every day. She was a terrible cook, and she would make burnt toast with peanut butter on it every morning. And I'm not the greatest cook either. So again, like another family trait. And then her tea.
And then her tea. Well, how would she take her tea?
A little bit of milk.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Red Rose was her favorite brand.
Yes. PG, not PG tips.
No, not PG tips, which is my favorite brand.
Red Rose. I forgot about Red Rose.
That's oh, yeah.
Cute. Yeah.
She liked that orange pico.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you find yourself lighting a candle for her at night, or do you prefer? Yeah. Do you have a flame going on the altar?
Yeah. Yeah. So I have a 7-day candle. Beeswax candle courtesy of Ceremonial in Pittsburgh, PA. I have one of those on the ancestor altar that I've kept lit since her passing. So
yeah,
just to keep that fire stoked and keep the light lit so that she can find her way. So
yeah.
And I was planning on doing something a bit more extravagant in about a month, just so that I have some time and space, you know, to really do it right for her. I want to like redo the altar, and she was really into Asian art, so I'm gonna redo it, redo the space and gussy it up.
Love it. Yeah. I love it. That's beautiful. Yeah. That's a beautiful honoring of her light in the physical world. Oh,
yeah.
It's and like you said, so many of us have been touched by the grief of losing a loved one this year. And it just makes me realize that the last time we gathered for In Bulk, we were doing a class, a first live recording. And then it was just about a month later that everybody had to start quarantining.
Yeah. Wow. Dude.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's intense.
No kidding. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No kidding. No kidding. So yeah, like lighting that extra candle at In Bulk this year for just that, this immeasurable at this point amount of grief and more to come, sadly. We're not out of this yet. And very sadly, so many of us are just losing so many important people in our life.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I wrote a little thing today about patience. And I guess I did want to talk about that, if that's cool with you.
I love it. Yes, please.
So In Bulk, as I said before, we're in this in-between space between the darkness and the light. And I think COVID has really created this tendency, this well-worn path in my own brain. So maybe I can speak to other people's experiences of impatience. You know, like I just want it to be over. I just want my fill in the blank to work out. I just want to get through this. Why can't we just get through this already? Why can't, you know, it's just like almost sometimes like a 4-year-old little baby child tantrum in my brain, like stomping the ground and just being mad all the time, you know? And I really love the symbolism of this specific holiday because it promises so much hope. That change is inevitable in a good way, and that we're not always going to be in this darkness. We're not always going to be alone. We are supported. We can ground our daily experience in what nature is doing. If we do that, we can find a tremendous amount of comfort and solace and peace as well. You know, I think about like what COVID experience has been like now that it's winter or has been winter versus my memory of what it was like during summer. And man, for the first time in my life, I miss summer, right? I mean, like, dude, summer was fantastic because we can be outside, because we can see people at a distance, of course, you know, and there's stuff to do instead of just watching Game of Thrones for the first time and wondering what the fuck is this about, which is what we're doing.
First timer.
Oh boy.
Oh, this is exciting.
Yeah. We're in season 3 now, by the way. I'm not impressed by the writing. Mm-mm. That's okay. It's entertaining. No offense to anybody that are maybe super fans, but yeah, so it's like, I love this idea of really embracing the concept of change. And at the same time, understanding that patience is the most important thing that we have to focus on right now. Yes, spring is coming, but we still have a little bit of winter left. And it's the same thing with the pandemic. Yes, the vaccine is coming, but we still have a little bit of the pandemic left.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same sort of thing. I hope that those ideas, you know, help other people and our listeners. That's what I was thinking about today.
Yeah, I like that a lot. at 5 o'clock in the morning. I agree. I think that, and I think that has been the encouraging intent. I don't know if it's the intent of the virus, but the teaching of the virus is like, yeah, practicing that patience and that surrender and that flexibility. And I too have had a lot of feelings of like, why are people trying to do this thing and this thing and this thing? Yeah. Can't we just take a break from it this year? It's 1 year.
I know.
Maybe 2 years.
I know.
That's nothing in my 43-year existence. Yeah, it's, same. You know, like.
Yeah, I have felt that way too. It's like, why in the world are we having birthday parties and why in the world, like in-person things? And why, you know, I had someone today tell me, oh, I'm going to get the second shot and then I'm going to go travel. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I just don't understand. But there again, it's like people go.
No, I'm just so like,
it's like people just can't settle in.
Yeah.
They won't do it. They refuse to settle in with within themselves. And so they're like constantly like looking outward for the stimulation and like a sense of quote unquote normalcy. And it's damaging. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's like, I know that it's totally related to capitalism and, you know, this constant drive for production and, you know, creating new content and putting out this new thing and driving your sales. And, you know, I don't understand like why we can't just settle in and be okay. Because if we do that, we're taking care of ourselves and each other. Mm-hmm. And each other.
And we would have been out of this 6 months ago.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah.
At least here.
So all the people that are so PO'd about it, you're prolonging it.
Yeah.
No. It's like, we would have been out of this. I read Fauci said, I've been obsessed with CNN news recently. Yeah. Fauci was saying, if everybody wore an N95 mask, every single human, everybody,
yep,
we could have this contained and managed in 4 months.
Yes. And I believe it.
So with Imbolc,
yes,
we are honoring the Celtic goddess, Breed.
What is it? Breed.
It's Breed. It's Breed.
Breed.
Breed. Who is maiden, mother, and crone, which I love the full aspect, the trinity in, you know, but if you like kind of think about it in a weird kind of way, you know, you're maiden, mother, and crone.
Yeah.
I'm maiden, mother, and crone. Like we all, you know, have those aspects within us. So it's this like wholeness and this completeness. Do you know anything about Breed's? I don't know that much about it, but I know a lot of like the weaving. The Irish weavings with
it's four-armed cross. It's traditionally woven using wheat, which of course is a symbol of fertility and abundance. And you know, it's a nice kind of symbol for this time of year because that's what we're thinking about. We're thinking about what are we going to plant and what are we going to eat, and it's going to be awesome.
Breed was always this fire energy, this fire flame, this creatrix, you know, always thought of it as tending to that flame, honoring her energy as well, honoring the energy of this goddess by lighting the flame and then calling in the light as well. And the fertility, and I think, you know, I'm always thinking like fertility, right? We're always like, it always seems like sex. But it's also the fertile ground and the fertile soil and the fertile soil to grow, you know, a beautiful crop and, you know, the ability to then harvest and to feed and provide.
I was reminded when I saw the image that it looks like an evil eye totem.
Yeah.
Or not totem. What am I saying?
People call them like God's eyes. Oh,
yes, God's eyes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because of the way it's like woven in the center, it kind of like draws you in, and it's kind of circular, and yeah, and From what I have read, this symbol is a protection symbol. And you're supposed to hang it above your front door or above your hearth. And is a hearth goddess, so goddess of fire, which is what you already mentioned.
Yeah, and so a lot of rituals or sort of practices around this time is tidying hearth and home.
Yep.
And sort of not doing a full spring cleaning, but, you know, purging and releasing and getting rid of and cleaning the pantry and, you know, making banana bread out of those old bananas and you know, utilizing what you can utilize with what you have in your kitchen, hearth, home, etc. So honoring in that way, tending to the soils.
And then, you know, it's got the four arms. So of course I think of the pentacle, you know, fire, earth, water, air, and then maybe the center would be spirit.
Good one.
Thanks.
Yes. A++.
Thank you.
Indeed. I can see that.
Yeah. It's a cool symbol.
Always about the elements. Yeah. Always about the elements. I love those elements.
About the elements.
It is the cool symbol. It's
yeah.
Very cool symbol. What do you have? Do you have anything planned?
No. I'll be honest with you. I haven't done much ritual for a while. I haven't felt called to do it. I haven't had space to do it. I'm in a fallow period, if you will. And that's okay.
And that is okay. And so many people have come and said, I'm stagnant in my practice and I feel like this is wrong. And it's not.
No, it's not. The moon grows and decreases in energy, right? The ocean does the same thing. The earth does the same thing. So we do too. That's the cycle of things.
Yeah. That actually ties in with the first question.
Should it sure does.
Okay.
Same way. Let's say.
Shall we do that?
Yeah. Speak directly to Katie from Oregon. Hello, hags. First of all, I love your podcast. Y'all are truly gems. My name is Katie, and I have a question about multiple life callings. I started becoming a practicing witch officially about 5 years ago, give or take. However, it's something I felt drawn to through my whole life. I've been down many paths career-wise, previously going to art school and becoming a visual artist, and more currently taking a completely new path as an apprentice electrician. I know, total 180. Since I entered my apprenticeship just over a year ago, it feels harder to stay on top of my witchy practices. The apprenticeship is very demanding, so I'm feeling guilty for not continuing to grow as a fledgling witch. I don't want to let myself down, but mostly I don't want to let down the ancestors of mine who were connected to witchcraft. Is there any advice you can give in terms of shifting or balancing between the focuses of life without letting one or the other fall by the wayside? Are there small acts I can do to keep growing as a witch during this period of change in my life that requires so much of my attention? Thank you both. Be well and keep on keeping on. XO.
XO.
I have a lot of thoughts.
Go for it. I do too.
You go first.
Okay.
Okay. You sounded like your dad.
All right. Oh boy. So many new stories. I can't even.
Oh, I can't wait to hear.
Yeah, like we were saying, it's always an ebb and flow.
That's right.
You know, there you have to, in order to become full, you have to empty. You know, life is a balloon. You know, and sometimes taking a small hiatus like this can be very, very fruitful for you. Katie and Allison, I'm speaking to you. No. And I think that, like, your ancestors are going to be let down.
No,
because
no.
You are, you know, taking up a new career or using your attention for something else at this time. You are who you are. It is in you. You can't run away from it. And when the time is right, it will present itself again, right? New moon, full moon, all the ebbs and all the flows of all of that. And small little things too is, you know, just starting your day with intention, being intentional in all things you do, merely just being appreciative of the trees, of the earth, of the water that you're drinking. Everything can be a spell, right? Maybe at some point, Katie, you can carve just a little bit of time once a month to honor the new or full moon. And it doesn't even have to be a grand ceremony. You can go out to the backyard and stand in the full moon and just make a declaration for that month. You know, I'm still here. This is who I am. I haven't forgotten about this aspect of my life, and I can't wait to get back to it, to tend to my magic. The other thing, last two things I was thinking about are shower rituals in the morning or in the afternoon, you know, when you come home from work, to clear all the gunk off of you, all the sort of energetic debris. And then I love the idea of a windshield ritual on your commute home, even if you're on the bus or you're riding a bike or you're driving in a car, any of that period of time that you can honor your day and, you know, find the magic in the day, I think can be helpful in this period of time. Anytime you light a candle, set an intention. You know, there's so many wonderful things. Allison, take it. What do you got?
I love it so much. I love it so much. I think social media has done us a disservice into creating this feeling of guilt because we're not doing ritual every single day. My TikTok feed, my Instagram feed is just full of videos of people doing ritual, or suggestions for ritual. And I gotta tell you, being a witch isn't just about doing a ritual. It's about, you know, honoring your natural gifts. And right now that is studying and learning. It's a mind frame. It's not always action. And I wrote down some of the things that I wrote down is similar to what you just said, Leslie, which is that, you know, your ancestors are definitely not judging you. They are proud that you are taking up a vocation like this. And, you know, you're not out of touch with yourself. If you use your intuition during the day, you are validating you're a witch. If you dress with intention, using color, you are validating that you're a witch. If you wear a piece of jewelry that grounds yourself into that feeling, you're validating that you're a witch. You know, I just think that it's an unnecessary thing that we place upon ourselves on top of everything else that we have to deal with in this life, to then also on top of it be guilty because we're not, you know, in ritual every day. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, another small thing that you can do is a grounding practice during your lunch breaks, preferably in nature or focusing on what lights you up. That can be just thinking about your cat or looking at the sky and watching the cloud formations and just breathing the air and being grateful, you know, for the sacred ones and your ancestors and all the things. Having a very small, just moment of gratitude for the witches in your ancestry. And by the way, listeners, everyone has witches in their ancestry. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing would be, you know, if you have an altar set up just a few moments before you start your day, lay your hands on your altar and just look at the things that are on it and ground yourself in that mm-hmm. space.
Yeah. Even if I don't have time in the morning, I do exactly that. Allison, I will come in, I'll put my hands and I'll say, I'm here.
Yep.
And I see you.
Yep.
You Me know,
too. Every day
I will make time for you. You know, we'll make time for each other. Absolutely. That's perfect. That's beautiful. Oh, Katie,
I hope that helps, my friend. I understand.
Sending you love, Katie. Thanks for your support.
Thank you, Katie.
Britt from Ohio writes, "Hello, witches. I'm a triple Capricorn and had a first flying dream that I can recall the other night. I wish I could be more specific about which night, but alas, I always say I should write things down, but never do. I was flying on a broomstick during twilight over a village with a river running through it. I could see the lights from the village shimmering in the water. At one point, I had stopped and looked at my broomstick, but it was broomsticks, which really stood out for my dream. They weren't end-to-end parallel, but instead nose-to-end parallel entwined together. How was I flying with an end towards the wind? Also, very odd shenanigans in this dream, like my stressful hunt for a dressing room to try on a bra, which landed me in a department store with metal solitary confinement cell fitting rooms. This makes no sense as I don't wear bras or go to department stores." And I bet you don't fly on double brooms either. Anyway, I can't figure out the symbolism of the double broomstick dream. And I'm wondering if you had any thoughts. Thank you for your wonderful podcast. What you got, Allison?
Well, I'm not much of a dream symbolism expert, I'll be honest with you. The research that I did just talked about broom symbolism, you know, which is the merging of the masculine and the feminine, and you know, the caretaking of the house and home and things like that. It being a magical tool of cleansing. And then of course flying ointments, which then kind of got me into a different pathway on the internet. So some would say that you were having a bit of an astral projection thing. Mm-hmm. Since it seems as though you had a very visceral experience. And, you know, flying definitely is a symbol of searching for freedom in your personal life. What do you think, Leslie?
First and foremost, listeners, you probably know this already, but antiflow.com is a really great resource for dream interpretation, A-U-N-T-Y, flow, F-L-O.com. So that's always a great place to go if you have any questions about it. But as I have learned from our dear friend, Laura, who taught some wonderful dreaming classes at the shop, and how I've always understood dream symbolism, you are the best interpreter of your dreams. And to create your own library of symbols, because this language that you're speaking in your dreams is very intimate to your understanding of symbols. And so you need to go back to what it means to you. Does this village seem familiar to you? Do you know this village? If you don't, is this a dream place for you? For example, like, boy, someday I'd love to go to this gorgeous village in Switzerland, you know? Take note of what the temperature was. Was it a clear night? Was it cold? Was it warm? Were you cold or warm? Were you frightened? Being your first flying dream, this is really important. I think flying dreams are also, too, about, like, ascending as well. Yeah.
Yep.
But what I did find was that flying on a broom can result or can relate to or symbolize a rapid improvement in a financial situation. It can speak to a new start, a new cycle, or a new situation in your life. Brooms brush away difficulties in your life. So since you have two brooms, I feel like you're brushing away two situations, or you're kind of paralleling two separate paths that you might be sort of in decision over. Also, I read that flying on brooms is power over other people. Mm-hmm. So are you in this position in your life where you feel that you need to be set apart or be more powerful right now? The other thing that I found was that dreaming about brooms and broomsticks also speak to the comfort with those around you. Like being comfortable with your people. Yeah. Do you feel comfortable in your group? They can, again, offer a new direction. In this case, two different options for you, both beneficial, not sure where to go, et cetera, et cetera. With the brooms, it's going to be up to something that you have to think about. And the only thing I could think of with the cells is this solitary confinement in this is that if you are in between, if you are kind of making a decision between two things, there's this looming fear of getting trapped in a scenario. I think sometimes, and it sounds so silly, but putting things down on paper, not necessarily your dream, but if this is absolutely relating to a life experience where you're kind of caught between two decisions or two people or two lives or two households or et cetera, then kind of putting some things down on paper and sorting through them that way could be pros and cons.
Yeah.
I do that a lot.
I do too. Cool. Thanks, yeah. Britt, for writing in.
Yeah. Thank you.
Lauren from Missouri writes, "Hi, Hags. First, thank you for your podcast. I love it and can feel the energy all three of you create. My question is kind of lengthy, so I apologize in advance. Despite always feeling a calling towards this life path, only over the past few months have I become an apprentice. Since then, I have had very vivid dreams and have noticed tons of synchronicities, as well as having a better connection with my cat. Trying the telepathy method has been a mind-blowing experience. I have read some books, worked with my book of shadows, and meditate, but have had trouble visualizing anything in my mind. I've tried pronouncing this many times, so I apologize if it's
aphantasia.
Wrong.
Aphantasia.
Aphantasia. Yeah. Thank you. Aphantasia. Which basically means when I close my eyes and try to visualize, I literally cannot see anything but black. Like it's all thought in my head, but no pictures. I mostly am able to feel or just know how something is. So if I was told to close my eyes and visualize sitting on a beach, I would think of the hot air and know I would hear water, but my mind's eye is blind. I can dream and have vividity there, but that is typical for aphantasia. Only recently did I learn I can't visualize like other 98% of the world, and I'm having trouble trying to work with progressions or anything magical that requires visualization. Do you have any tips or thoughts? Thanks again, and I hope you are all doing well and being kind to yourself, and I hope you are too, Lauren. Absolutely. Yeah. This is so cool. I have not heard of this before. And so once again, I did some research, and if I can just dive right in.
Yes, you can.
Sweet friend.
Yes, of course.
I think that, we always should be grounded and centered in the idea of accepting ourselves as we are. And there is nothing wrong with writing, like drawing a rune on a piece of paper and using your eyes and focusing on it. You don't necessarily need, in my experience, to have it, that rune in your mind and then have power and magic. It's about the feeling in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she smiles at me. That's nice. As soon as I said that, Leslie smiled. It's about the feeling that you have in your body and the vibration and the resonance that you're experiencing. That's where the magic is.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how you get there. Unless, like, so, you know, a lot of these books and things will say, close your eyes and visualize a candle flame. What's wrong with having a candle flame in front of you?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really think that we collectively need to accept ourselves as we are, as beautiful as we are. And I would bet, Lauren, that you have a wicked crazy memory. I do not. And I really would like one. So, you know, we all have gifts and talents. Let's highlight, let's utilize those things in our magic. So, you know, the other thing would be too, if you want to continue like working with this concept of visualization, instead of seeing something or focusing on not being able to see something, focus on all the rest of your senses. What does it smell like? What does it feel like? But most importantly, how do you feel inside when you are at the beach?
That's exactly what I had.
Oh, my friend. Ooh, A plus.
Yeah. 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 You know, I love it. I love it because, and you're right. Like if she can't visualize, I bet you she can feel really well and taste it and smell it.
Totally.
You know, Claire, I think it's called, Claire Alliance is like smelling. Is that right? Claire Alliance, something like that. But yeah, I love that using the other senses, other senses heightened.
Whatever you can do to get you there. That's what
matters. Yeah. I love the idea of like just having that candle right in front of you. And if Lauren, you are still interested in trying a little bit to work on some visualizations for play to flex that mind's eye. When I first started to begin to visualize or try, or, you know, I didn't start with a beach or a village or a, you know, Ferrari. I started with a triangle. And I actually, forgive me, I started with a dot. Can I see a blue dot when I close my eyes? Can I see a circle? Can I see a triangle? And I just started with that. Can I see a red one? Oh, okay, I can't. Could I see an orange one? Oh, that's interesting. I can see an orange triangle, but I can't see a red triangle. So just, you know, kind of if you feel open to it, and forgive me, I don't know enough about aphantasia if you really are just a blind mind's eye. If that's the case, then yeah, smelling it, tasting it, feeling it, feeling it in your body, feeling the vibration. How does it make you feel? There's so many superpowers there. I love it.
It's true. Yeah. Cool. Great question. Thanks, Lauren.
Next question we have from Lily in Michigan. I'll start with the typical hello and thank you. I am in love with your podcast. Thanks, Lily. You mentioned a lot of the time ritual baths, and I know you've previously mentioned about maybe not having the space or privilege to do a ritual bath. I was wondering if you had any suggestions for ritual showers. As a human who doesn't typically find baths appealing, is there any way I can find the peace of a ritual bath in the shower? I also have access to a lake as I live on the shores of one, which I find much more appealing than a bath, if that could be of any use. Stay safe and stay witchy.
Yeah.
Oh, Lily, as my father always says, how can you just sit in your own filth? I get it. Not all people find baths appealing. I understand. And my father would always go out to the lake and wash himself in the lake. Sea sponges and his soap on a rope. Oh my God.
Was it vetiver scented?
I'm sure sandalwood, probably. Oh, Crabtree and Evelyn, Allison.
Of course. Yes, naturally. As a person who does not have a bathtub that I can actually sit in, I've used ritual showers quite often. Yes. The first thing is being in almost the dark. Is really nice. It's very calming. It's very soothing. You close the door, you light some candles. It's great. Almost darkness in the shower, A plus. Unless you're doing things that you need to see, but usually I don't. Anyway, use of salt in the shower. Salt, as you know, is the super cleanser of all of the energetic gunk that we can collect. And a lot of people like to sit in salt water. Well, you can bathe in salt as well. And it's very simple. Get yourself some salt from the store and have it with you in the shower, cup it in your hand and kind of lightly drag it all along your body, concentrating on the back of your neck, the top of your head, the bottom of your feet, your sacrum area, if you will, but not rubbing vigorously, of course, because you don't want to hurt your skin. If you wanted a product, there's lots and lots of salt scrubs out there that people have created that smell really nice. And you could maybe pick one that has other properties that have cleansing aspects in it. My favorite is a brand called Pacha. That's P-A-C-H-A. And they make a mud and sea salt scrub. And it is A plus because you got that clay and salt. So you got that dual earth cleansing action.
And I need some of that.
It's so nice and it smells good. I actually use it on my scalp, head to toe. It's A plus.
On the scalp.
Mm-hmm. And then I condition my hair afterwards. It's great. And that, you know, refreshes the energy, cleanses the energy, also cleanses your skin too, of course, but that's really helpful. And then just seeing water as a natural purifying element, blessing the water as it comes down and rinses your head and body, seeing all of the things you're trying to release go down the drain.
Yep.
Right.
Yes.
A little bit of visualization in there. You can throw some Enya on. Oh, cherry on top.
Sail away, sail away, sail away.
Mm. Storms in Africa is my favorite track.
My good buddy told me to hang some eucalyptus in my shower, which has become what my friend Amanda which has been such a cool thing to do. And I've seen a few people do it. There's a specific name for it. And darn it, now don't you know I forget it. But yeah, you can go and get some fresh sprigs of eucalyptus and you can hang that in the shower and the warmth and the steam sort of creates this beautiful ritual experience for you. And you can kind of inhale that and set an intention. Love the idea, of course, as I couldn't agree more with Allison about the salt or sugar scrubs, but then also foot soaks.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you don't want to get in a bath, but you don't mind putting your feet in a nice little sudsy basin of warm water while you're sitting on the back porch looking at the lake, you know, that is a really nice experience. Putting some salt in there, some rose petals. Mm. When you're done, you can offer it to a tree, a little bit of honey in there, maybe a little bit of milk, oat milk or goat milk or coconut. And your feet, you know, we think about acupressure and foot reflexology, your feet hold so much energy. And just by soaking, it can pull all the negative toxins out of your body, the negative energy out of your body and into that foot bath. So that's also an option.
Love it.
But another thing that I was thinking is that natural water rituals are probably one of the most powerful and intense that you can do. A lot of times when we do bath rituals, we're actually asked to bring in some form of natural water into the bath, rainwater, lake water. So to have that right there is so, you're so lucky. And yep. If that's what you're already naturally feeling drawn to, I say, Lily, go with it. You could think about maybe anointing yourself in some oil or some honey or a concoction, again, of like honey and goat milk, which is very, very detoxifying to the energy field. A little bit of lemon, a little bit of, you can make yourself like a little scrub that you know would be safe for the water.
Yes.
You know, anything that I would really say, like, if you can eat it, then I think it would be safe to also take into the water. And then you can kind of anoint yourself maybe under the full moon during a beautiful sunny day and then create a ritual in that way and fully immerse yourself into the lake with honor and intention. And I think that that could be a really great ritual. Actually, I think that would probably be the most ideal way to do it.
I agree. That's delicious.
Isn't that lovely?
Mm, that's lovely. Absolutely. So
get
cool.
Creative. I love showering in the dark. Allison, I've got to try that.
Oh, it's my favorite thing in the world. I like to do it right before bed. So I like, you know, I do all my energetic cleansing and all the things. And then I just, I get right into bed and I sleep like a newborn babe.
I bet you do. Oh, I'm going to do some of that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Very cool.
And you can
fancy
it up, you know, put your crystal friends around, whatever.
That's right.
So we have two listeners who wrote in that have similar questions. And so we thought that we would address them together. And they happen to have similar names. Steph from Pennsylvania and Sarah from Texas. Steph writes, "Hello, ladies. Thank you again so much for all of your guidance you share on these podcasts. You have helped me more than you will ever know, and I appreciate both of you so much. I was wondering if you could share any mantras or practices that would be good for a new home. I know to do a full sage of the house, setting up smoky quartz and black tourmaline in the corners of the rooms. I even have a selenite wand to assist in pure light coming through, and I use it often while saging to replace a feather for wafting. Is there anything you recommend beyond this? Thanks so much." Thank you, Steph. And now Sarah from Texas writes, "Hey ladies, my husband, 1-year-old daughter, and I are about to move into our first home that we own. Congratulations." Mm-hmm. "I was wondering if there's any rituals I could do that you know about that I will honor the home that we are moving into. Kind of a welcome for the house spirits and to get a get to know you ritual. Thank you for any help you can provide."
Love it.
New home. Love it. Yay.
New home cleansing. So cool. Yes. Home cleansings. Mm-hmm. Great thing to do in the beginning of the year. Great thing to do, you know, with the seasons, maybe. And some people like to do it every month. Just depends on what you feel comfortable with.
Steph wrote quite a bit about using our plant friends and the smoke of plant friends to bless and cleanse the space. Steph wrote about sage. I also love burning dried lavender for this purpose as well, because it's dual, it's protecting and blessing all at the same time. So that's something to think about. But oftentimes we don't consider the perimeter of the property. And so I think that also walking the exterior of your property, if you're able to, with the same kind of practice, you know, using some sort of blessing, plant material, and speaking out loud, calling in protection, calling in blessings to those that live in the home. And I like to work with runes as well. So Algis, which is a protection rune, and Fehu, which is an abundance rune, could be utilized and visualized during that walking of the perimeter. As far as introducing yourself to the house spirit, in my experience, it's all about acknowledgement. They don't usually like to interact with us. They like to kind of stay behind the scenes. Acknowledgement is the most important thing, because that makes them feel like safe, and that you respect them and their presence and all the work that they're doing for you. So just by simply being in the house, saying hello, you can make small offerings, which is akin to my personal ancestry from Europe. A lot of people from Celtic traditions will offer a small bowl of cream or a small bowl of butter to the house spirit, just again as an offering of thanks for their service. In my work, I often have to be up quite early, and the rest of my household is asleep still. And so what I like to, I actually say good morning to them. Yeah. So I just, you know, when I go downstairs and all the lights are off and everything's quiet, I'm like, hey, good morning, everybody, you know, and before I leave,
I do that.
You do it too. Yeah. And before I leave and I, you know, lock the door, I say, thank you for your protection, because that's what they're doing. You know, they're caretakers. Other things would be ringing bells.
Yeah. You know, and you really want to go into the corners where a lot of, like, if a spider web's collecting there, you got to probably believe that energy is also collecting there. So ringing in the bells. If you don't have a bell on hand, you can clap your hands as well, or you can sing, or you know, kind of make a loud pitched noise to it. But yeah, cleansing with bells is such a beautiful, a beautiful way to clear. I think sound, any kind of sound, is a beautiful way to clear. Mm-hmm. Indeed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Steph talked about mantras, and I always go through and do this little sing-songy thing that says, I welcome health, wealth, love and protection, safety, healing, nourishing and connection. From the north, the south and east and west, I call you and honor you and welcome you today.
Oh, that's nice.
So, you know, you can kind of just create these little sing-song mantras. Huh? And so I go into each room and I kind of repeat this mantra, welcome health, wealth, love and protection. And, you know, just however, whatever words feel like they flow for you is a mantra that is going to be, or a declaration or an intention or a statement. Sometimes I don't like to say mantra. It's not really my language. But a declaration, an intention, a statement, an acknowledgement. Absolutely. I love the idea that you said it's more of an acknowledgement. As we're kind of, sorry, Steph and Sarah, we're going to jump all over the place, but Sarah talked about really connecting with the spirits there. You want to be careful about doing that, because we learned from our dear friend, Professor Cross, you don't want to invite anything until you really know what's going on. So I think just thank you. Hello. You know, thank you for your protection of this home. Thank you for coexisting with us. You know, just being a little bit more humble and coming from a place of gratitude is great in terms of honoring spirit energy. Couple things I love. When you have gone through your space and cleansed it, I love cedar for a new home.
Oh, blessing. Yeah. Good call.
Yeah. Rosemary is also really great too, as well as pine. I've been working a lot with pine that I bundled from, we had a Christmas tree farm here and they let me take a bunch of branches home and I bundled and gave them to my sister witches. So working with like a pine or a cedar is going to be really, really great because they're strong and they're a stable tree and they do a lot of protection and any sort of emotional clearing from anybody that might have been there before you. So going through each one of those rooms and using that, love that you're using selenite. May I also suggest a black kyanite?
Ooh,
like a feather. So that's also a really great protective sort of wasping energy. And then 5 points is one of my favorite things to do. And 5 points is practice I do at the windows and at the doors and at any sort of opening. You can create 5 points by making any sort of a protective tincture. You can even go to your favorite witch shop and get like a black tourmaline gem essence or a black tourmaline tincture, or you can even make your own black tourmaline tincture by utilizing an indirect gem essence method. 5 points, you dip your finger in the water and then you do corner of the window, lower corner, lower corner, middle dot. So you're ultimately making like a big X on your window, but you're dotting it at each corner and in the center. Mm-hmm. I call that 5 points.
I do that as well, but with Alge's, the rune.
Yep.
In the four corners of the window, also with blessed water.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or like your full moon water or your new moon water. Right.
Or even salt water.
Or even salt water. Mm-hmm. Or even just plain salt water. Mm-hmm. You can also do a little bit of salt at each threshold, which I also love. And then finally, I want to talk about wards. So making wards at the four corners of your home by maybe making a little teeny hole and putting in some plants for protection, some stones for protection. You can even write a declaration of protection, burn it, put the ashes in there, and then bury it.
Mm-hmm.
And then charge those wards. Every time you cleanse your home, you go by those wards and you charge them as well. Mm-hmm. I love that too, with the, when you're talking about the periphery of the home, same kind of thing. Like as you're doing the periphery of your home, like passing by your ward and recharging it,
mm-hmm.
doing the 5 points on your mirrors too, because
mm-hmm.
mirrors are also a threshold. So doing the 5 points on your mirrors, when you're going through your home space and you're clearing the energy and you're going up into the corners and saying your declaration to the home. Once you're done with that, lighting a little tea light candle in each room to now fill that with light, you know, opening the window, letting that energy out, closing the window, lighting a candle, go to the next room.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of been my process. Mm-hmm. Or do anything that sparks joy for you.
There you go. I like that too. That's great.
Cooking a good pasta meal.
Oh.
Dancing with your beloved in the kitchen.
Yeah. Over a glass of wine.
Uh-huh.
Always beautiful.
Carrying your pet around the house like a baby in your arms.
Oh, the baby. Yeah. That's great. Okay. Thank you, Steph and Sarah, for writing in. Reese from Vermont writes, Hags, I can't get enough of your podcast. While listening to an old episode, I got to thinking about the gratitude I have for my horses. I live on a small ranch in Vermont with 20 horses and some donkeys too. Is there any way to incorporate these lovely creatures, whether it be their hair, old shoes, or any other way to honor and include them in my work? I owe so much of my life to those horses. Oh, thank you.
Love
it. Great question.
Love it. Thanks, Ree. Love it.
Oh, cool.
So first and foremost, you know, horseshoes in the home is absolutely a wonderful way to honor them. Now, I've heard some superstitions around this, that the shoes have to fall off naturally, et cetera, that the way that you place the horseshoe in your house has a lot of people can argue it as well. For me, I've always placed the horseshoe U-shape up, which is to indicate that blessings will fill in. However, the argument is that you can also place it sort of as an archway because it catches the blessings coming up as well. Mm-hmm. So I think whatever way you feel most comfortable, and again, you're going to be placing that over a threshold. Namely, I would do it over your most passed through doorway in your home, whether it's your back door or your front door. That's kind of, and in setting it there with, an intention of protection.
Mine is above my bathroom.
Is that the most passed through doorway in your home?
Probably.
I love it. The other thing I wanted to call in was, you were talking about honoring these beautiful creatures. And Reese, I don't know if this is in your nature to do so, but I want to introduce you, if you do not know already, this beautiful Celtic goddess named Epona is. Did you write about this?
Yeah.
Did you? Of course you did.
Nice.
So Epona is the Celtic goddess known as the Great Mare, and she is a protector of, you know, horse and donkey, really. And so, you know, kind of calling in and thanking the energy of this beautiful goddess Epona and offering cakes or fruit or treats for your animals is a wonderful way to kind of call in that energy with that continued protection for your babies, for your horse babies. And Epona can also bring fertility to your land and fertility to your mind, body, heart, and soul, and to your dreams as well, kind of granting you with beautiful dreams to help guide you on your life's path. So working with the energy of Epona, and I'm sure she's probably already present with you if you're so honored and beloved and humbled by these creatures, I'm sure she has already got her eyes on you as a kindred spirit, sort of. So calling out to this goddess energy and offering your humble gratitude and your humble service to continually caring for these beautiful creatures.
I just want to bring up that horses are symbols of movement and wealth and fertility in every single culture that have relied upon their bodies and their spirit. And they also really deeply connect us to the land as well. And it's called Horse Magic, Spells and Rituals for Self-Empowerment, Protection and Prosperity. And it's written by Lauren and Dominic Leo, L-E-O. I would really recommend this. It's an excellent read. And I think that Reese and anybody else who loves horses would really love exploring this wonderful text.
Love that.
Risa, you know, I'm always coming from an ancestral like point of view. So I would look to who your people were and look for any deities that were associated with horses. You know, Epona, great example. That's an Irish goddess. Welsh goddess, Rhiannon, great, amazing.
There's a song called Rhiannon, isn't there?
Yeah, by, who's that lady again? I don't know.
Oh, it escapes me.
Yeah, me too. You know, so really tapping into your ancestry, because horses and people have coexisted for thousands of years together. You can look at all of the ancient art that was created by our ancestors in caves and so on, and you're going to see horses there. So yeah. You know, we are deeply connected to them spiritually, and some would say even through our DNA. So yeah, I think this is really cool. Leslie and I have talked about utilizing parts of or sheddings of our animal friends in ritual and magic. Of course, horsehair is, you know, an obvious thing to use, especially if you want to do any spell work around movement, around connection to the landscape, around wealth and what that looks like in your life.
We have a fan that listens to us. That's a local jeweler. Our dear friend Elizabeth at Horse Thief Silver, and Elizabeth can make like necklaces from the sheddings of your familiar. And she could, I mean, if that's something that you would like to wear for protection and honor that, you know, Elizabeth would be able to do something, you know, but of course you could put it in your talisman pouch or, but yeah, it's so nice to then like take that beautiful shedding and offering of your familiar and then creating something that you can wear as a powerful talisman for protection.
Yeah.
It's endless.
It's so cool. Yeah. I love horses. Oh my God. I was a horse girl. I still am.
Were you? Did you ride a lot?
Oh, all the time. All the time. I never had horses because my parents weren't wealthy enough, but I was fortunate enough to live in the country in Pennsylvania. And we had a number of people who owned horses around us in the countryside. So I took riding lessons for a long time, dressage and Western. And I know it's been too long since I've ridden, but they just have a special place in my heart. Thanks for writing in. This is a great question.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
The Ask Ahead podcast is produced by Donna Kyler. Listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever else you listen. You can be part of the podcast too. Leave us a voice message on the Anchor FM app and we'll play it on the show. Don't forget to review us on Apple Podcasts. We love 5 stars so much. You can find this podcast on Instagram at ask.a.hag or at askahagpodcast.com. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.